Cap Figure Podcast, episode 13. Last night, the Orioles lost to the Blue Jays in the AL wildcard game. And their best pitcher, Zach Britton, never saw any game action. Buck Showalter joins us now. Buck, was he healthy? I don't understand why he wasn't used. Was he okay?
Was everything okay with Zach Britton? And if so, why was he not used?
No, he was fine. He was fine.
What the hell was that? Who the hell are you? Get out of here, generic reporter with the same idea. And Buck, why didn't you answer me?
Did you just consider using him at any point?
Yeah, I considered a lot of things during the course of the game, but our guys did a good job getting us to that point. We just couldn't finish it off.
Yeah, you know what? You make a good point. I mean, it's not like there's some awesome pitcher on your roster whose job it is to finish games. I mean, if that existed, that would be too clear-cut, I assume. You're not that stupid. Like, a finisher, a game-ender, a closer. Hey, wait a minute. What about Zach Britton?
Yeah, he was available.
Buck, were you disappointed when those trashy Canadian fans threw stuff at your left fielder?
I don't know about disappointing. I mean, you know, people have a different way of handling their emotions and don't like it. Nobody likes it, and I'm sure the Toronto Blue Jays don't like it, but you know, it's tough when you have that many people in the ballpark and one person does something that reflects poorly on all of them.
Well, I'm glad it's refreshing to hear somebody who can clearly make blanket statements about all the trashy Canadian fans based on one. I appreciate you saying that, Buck. Thank you. So you hear it here first. Buck races against Canadians and doesn't regret leaving yet.
Try to be best, because you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got a hand tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
So that was the Cap Figure intro. That was the Cap Figure podcast. Bye, guys. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Don't hang up. That's like me on the phone with my ex-girlfriend. Like, no, I'm sorry, babe. Don't hang up.
Please. All right.
Cap Figure podcast episode 13. Hi, Tom.
What's up, y'all?
So that was Buck Showalter trying to... I don't know who this other reporter was. It's like one of your friends, I guess. He left. I kicked him out. The doorman in my dad's building kicked him out, but that was weird. He jumped in my interview.
Yeah, get him out of here.
So that was crazy, that game last night.
It was probably one of the best baseball games I've seen in a long time. It was a pretty sweet birthday gift. So just to the listeners, I'm 27 now, so you're going to get a totally different dynamic.
Wow, because you're going to be caught up with the Yankees World Series?
Well, I'm just, you know, I'm a year older, I'm a year more mature, I'm a year closer to World Series number 28.
Wow. So. Coming up this year of Tom's life on the Cap Figure podcast, new perspectives.
Yeah, new perspectives.
A more mature attitude. And more forced jocularity.
Same swagger.
Same old swagger. So happy birthday. You said Saturday's your birthday in practice, so I ain't got no gifts for you right now, bro.
cool.
Or I have this stack of $1 chips. So, yo, tell me, so obviously both last night after the Orioles never put in their Cy Young Award candidate
worthy
reliever, Zach Britton, who's amazing. And he was healthy and ready to go, as you heard in my interview with Buck Showalter, and they never put him in, and they lost in extra innings. That was obviously the first thing you and I were texting about as the game ended. And so, obviously, that's like the first thing to talk about today is that decision and the game last night. And so, you looked up a bunch of stuff about the decision to put in Jimenez, and it's not as black and white as, like, my first reaction was, like, why don't you ever put him in? But it is to me. But anyway, so I'm just going to open it up to you to go through some of your numbers and what you found, and I guess unpack the decision.
Gotcha. Yeah, so exactly. We were texting last night, and I remember that it was going into the ninth inning, and
you assumed.
I was telling
was
you.
Yeah.
I was like, this is going to be a great matchup, Britton versus Donaldson to lead off the inning. And it really – I couldn't even comprehend why they wouldn't do that. But so let's look at some of the numbers, because obviously Buck Showalter is not, I think, just doing it just to save a save for his closer.
Well,
I think he's smarter than that, but there definitely is an argument here, and there needs to be, this decision needs to be unpacked. So,
right. Well, to be clear, I don't think that it's to save a save. I think it's that this mentality that, that like these pitchers only know that role and they're not able to perform as well or something stupid or like,
right.
But it's like saving a save. I guess it is saving a save, but not for the stat purpose. But
right,
obviously
right.
I know that's what you meant. So go on. Sorry.
All right. So the Orioles, they brought in Ubaldo Jimenez in the inning that they actually ended up losing. And although he's been a huge failure on that big contract that he got in the right before the 2014 season, $50 million, 4 years, that was actually a pretty lucrative contract for a starting pitcher at that point. He's been a huge failure on that contract, hasn't lived up to it at all.
Because he was great with the Rockies and stuff, right? Like, he had a couple good years.
Yeah, Rockies, and then he pitched for the Indians. Phenomenal years with the Rockies, actually. He had a 6 war year with the Rockies in 2010. He had a 5.3 war year with the Rockies in 2009. But since he moved to Baltimore, he really just has not produced. So that's the, that's the big theme of the Ubaldo Jimenez career track. As of late, he rejoined the Orioles on August 25th. And has sported a 2.45 ERA and 47 and two-thirds innings pitched since then.
Yeah, so this is just the beginning of part of a defense for Buck that, he has been good, to be fair, in the last month.
Yeah, and actually this I found even more kind of telling than that, 48-inning stretch. Jimenez started against the Blue Jays last Thursday and pitched 6 2/3 innings scoreless. So he has had that recent success against these hitters. So,
well, but I mean, good for him. It's like, you could tell me his splits against them or whatever else you have about him. But to me, it's not even about it. Like, it is about who's you're putting in, because if him and if we find. So on one hand, I was going to say this isn't about Jimenez or whoever's instead of Zach Britton. It's about the stupidity of not having him pitch ever. But it is, if Jimenez is this good, that then it's much, much more defensible, right? So sorry, carry on.
So here are some of Jimenez's career splits against the Blue Jays, and we'll go in the order.
Jimenez's is.
No parlo español. That's not even close to correct either. So, all right. So against Devin Travis, 14 at bats, 4 hits, 1 home run. Small sample size, but Travis obviously has had some success against Jimenez. So then you go to Josh Donaldson, 28 at bats, 5 hits, 0.643 OPS. That's a much bigger sample size. He has 10 strikeouts against him, and then we'll go to Encarnacion, 41 at-bats, 9 hits. So here's the real telling one, but you didn't even get to this point, is Jose Bautista, 3 hits and 38 at-bats, 11 strikeouts, 0.327 OPS. So I think, just from taking a step back, I think that there's two separate things here, right? There's, yes, Jimenez has had this success against these hitters and has this great track record with all the analytics pointing to these matchups making sense. But
yes, and it's arguable, though, if these are analytics. These are like old man E stats, batter versus pitcher, but whatever, they're real stats.
Right,
go
and
on.
He's a right-handed pitcher against all right-handed batters.
No, there is an analytic case to be made. Okay, so go on.
But then I think that where the theory kind of splits apart is, right, you need to take into account after each batter, right? So I agree with having Jimenez start that inning.
Oh, right. That's really a good point. Yeah, on paper, it's like, okay, this is a good move if he can get through the inning. But then once you give up two easy hits, it's like you got to reevaluate.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you watched the at bat against Devin Travis, I mean, it was fairly obvious. You saw, I think he threw maybe six or seven pitches total, two hits, and one was hit into like the third deck.
Right.
But it was just fairly obvious that he had no location of his fastball.
His first pitch almost hit him in the head. Then his second pitch was like caught the top of the zone, and then he threw one right down the middle.
So I think that it's. I like, in theory, the idea of kind of pushing Britton back and, you know, holding that ace in the hole. But once that first guy gets on base, you need to make that switch immediately because, you know, from that point, it's like, all right, now you... It's
with
not,
no outs, he was the leadoff hitter of the inning, right?
Yeah, he got a single and then... I think he got a double.
No, no. He got a single, and then Donaldson hit it, and then he ran first to third. But I'm saying this was all with no outs or one out. I don't remember. I think the pitcher before Jimenez might have gotten one out.
No, no. What happened was he struck out Bautista after Donaldson.
Oh, okay. So that's why it ended up being with one out, you mean?
Yeah, so it was zero outs.
I get you. Okay, so anyway, I forgot he struck out Bautista. So, like, but okay, so maybe you could understand, maybe, and you've convinced me that I forgive Buck for wanting to put Jimenez in against the meat of their lineup to some extent, but still, like, even though they got away with it, so to speak, like, when you're on the road and you don't put in your best pitcher or closer in the ninth or eighth or tenth, and you keep the game tied, you're getting away with it, right, in my eyes. You're playing with fire, getting away with it to hopefully get to where you can put your closer in. But so even if you just said that you're cool with them keeping Jimenez in or starting him in that inning, but what about not putting him in the ninth or tenth? Like, it happened to work out in hindsight, but wouldn't you say that you would want Zach Britton in the ninth or tenth in the future?
Absolutely. I mean, that goes back to what we were saying when I was texting you when he didn't come in the ninth inning to face Donaldson right there. You know, it was just kind of like...
Yeah, Donaldson, Edwin, and whoever. Yeah. I mean, so wait, what was the second takeaway that you had? What do you mean? You had 2 points, you were saying.
Well, yeah. So the 2 points are, one, I don't blame Buck for...
Oh, I get you. Once it's the 11th inning. But on the other hand, reevaluate as it's going.
Exactly.
And if you look at batter versus pitcher as analytics, which it is analytics, and so forgetting that I'm calling them old man analytics, let's just say that's the type of stuff my dad would call analytics, right? And my dad also would say, who's not much of a baseball fan, but he'd say, I hate how these managers do righty versus lefty stuff. It's like, just go with your gut. See how the guy is pitching and keep him in. So you could look at this to some extent once you're in this inning as like between like what the numbers say and what you're actually witnessing on the mound, especially when you're in the postseason, when you're putting starters in the position of coming in a high leverage relief situation and they may not be as used to it. It's like you got to be ready to reevaluate every at bat.
Yeah, every pitch.
Every pitch, right. Yeah, absolutely. You're right. But all of this said is like, borderline moot or different than the point of like, it's just, I can never imagine being in on the road in extra innings in a one game playoff. It's not like one game in a series and you don't pitch your best pitcher and he was healthy and ready to play. It's just, I don't see any excuse for it. Like, it's so silly.
Yeah. I think that another point to this too, that is definitely being swept under the rug, is if you look at the game script, right, you want, when you're in extra innings, you want to get to the meat of your lineup to put up runs. And if you look, the 11th inning, at the top of the 11th, Nolan Reimold struck out to end the inning. I believe Liriano was still pitching.
Yeah.
Guess who's up next if it's the top of the 12th? Manny Machado, Mark Trumbo, Matt Wieters, Chris Davis. Right-handed hitters who crush left-handed pitching.
Right.
So even, you know, going back, I'm okay with Jimenez starting the inning, but once that batter gets on base, like, you really, your mindset should be, okay, let's just get this to the next inning.
Right. Instead of, and it's reverse, and this is where the home versus road, the scenario comes in. Buck Showalter said in his press conference, if we were at home, it may be a different story. And that's so silly to, because the only difference is, to me, it's silly, and to most sabermetrics, anybody with a sense of it, it's silly that, so, like, the difference is he's saying, like, what we're saying is you just get to the meat of your order so you can score and then figure out the rest later. Not get the meat of your order up by like, luck or with a crappier pitcher and then use your ace. It's like, there is, like, as we saw last night, there is no meat of your order. There is no 12th inning if you don't get there. Exactly. So it's like, in a one-game playoff, there's nothing to save him for. Like, the fact that they use Liriano, who they would have loved to start in the next series, and the fact that they put in Osuna in the ninth inning, like, it's easier to do at home with these old-school managers, but still, that shows to me out-managing to some extent, that they're willing to just put all hands on deck more so than Buck was. Like in the same the Blue Jays did last year by having R.A. Dickey and David Price pitch that game in game four of the ALDS against the Rangers, and then start Stroman in game five instead of starting David Price, because it was like, there is no game five if we don't get through game four.
Right.
Even though they had like a 6-run lead and it seemed weird and people thought it was because he really wanted to start Stroman. But it's like, I guess the thinking is, if you're at home, it's like, you know, all you need to do is to get those outs and you win. In this case, you get those outs and you don't know if you win. It's like you're not ending the game on outs. Obviously, this goes without saying, but it's like, he puts Britton in the 11th. He gets those outs. The game is still going to continue. But that's so just stupid way to look at it. There's no difference. Like, I mean, it's just the ordering of things.
Yeah, and just to clarify a couple of points, I think we made a mistake earlier. So at the bottom of the 11th, Buck brought in Brian Dunsing to face Ezekiel Carrera. He struck him out. Then Ubaldo Jimenez was brought in.
Yeah, okay.
Travis single to left, Donaldson single, Travis to third, and then Encarnacion homered. I was mixing up the Bautista strikeout with a separate inning. But, yeah, you're right. And I think another thing that we kind of have to think about, and it's worth talking about, is, you know, you can bring
in... I'll be
in,
the judge of that.
You can bring in Britton. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't want to step on your...
I'm kidding.
You're the host.
I'm kidding.
And I don't want to step on your job responsibilities. But it's like, you know, okay, you bring in Britton. Well, we can only use him for X many outs, but why?
Yeah. Who says? Like, what do you see?
Why don't you just keep throwing him until his arm falls off in that scenario? There is literally going to be no higher leverage situation than this.
Right.
And if you need to pitch him for even four innings, go for it.
Yeah. It's the same.
He's the best pitcher in the game this year.
Yeah. It's the same. Right. He's the highest win probability added pitcher. Like, it's the same as, like, in the regular season, and sabermetrics have, I mean, anybody who knows numbers have, and it's been a battle versus people who, like in the game, who say that relievers need to know their roles and that they perform better as a closer or something. And to everybody else who's smart, it seems so friggin' arbitrary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there is no ninth inning to close if you don't put in your best pitcher. Like, there's no reason to not put in your best pitcher, even if you're at home in a tied 3-3 game. But the managers will wait to put in their closer until their team scores. It's just ridiculous.
I think another thing is, too, right? Like, I think some people have tried to justify Buck keeping Jimenez in because of, a right-handed pitcher versus right-handed batters. But if you look at Britton's splits, he's actually performed better against right-handed hitters than lefties, too. So even that, you can't fall back on that argument either.
Right. He's too good. You know, it's like both numbers and my dad's go with your gut wins here, because
that's right,
you're right,
Tony.
Even though he's a lefty, yeah, Dad. You hear that? You win. Even though he's a lefty, right? It's like, it doesn't friggin' matter. It's like, he's too good. So whatever. That was the game last night. Who do you think's gonna win the Blue Jays Rangers series?
Well, I mean, I'm definitely excited for that. I think the Rangers are gonna end up winning, and I think that
I'm rooting for them.
I think that another point, one, I think the Rangers have just a better roster, pitching staff in general. The Blue Jays have obviously been very hot, and if they're on, they can very easily win. But I think that John Gibbons kind of gets like a little bit of a free pass because they won last night, but his decision-making, I don't really trust either. I didn't really get why Stroman was starting that game against the Orioles.
Oh, well,
to me, it should have been Francisco Liriano.
Yeah, because they've been so bad against lefties.
Yeah, the Orioles have the second-best OPS against right-handed pitching this season in the AL, and they had the worst against left-handed pitching in the AL. And I know it goes like a little bit deeper than that, but if you saw Liriano pitch last night...
Right, well, he looked awesome. And I do give him credit, though, for using him, you know, like for... Like, I just gave him credit for using both and being, like, I don't care about my game one starter of next series.
Right.
Like, which he should get some credit back. But I agree with you. Well, I don't agree with you because Liriano is the classic pitcher. Well, in like, he can look so good and then just totally ruin a game. And in a one-game playoff...
But Stroman is the same
Well, but Stroman pitches to some contact, and he gets some ground. He's maybe a little bit more consistent than Liriano, who could walk 10 and strike out 10. You know, like, I understand. But it is maybe another example of, like, on paper versus, like, gut decision. And almost always I'm with the on paper because baseball is an on-paper sport. So I guess I'd agree with you. He does deserve some flack for that. And he's not a great manager, but at least I compared to the flawed Buck choice, he gets some cred from me from last night. But I'm definitely rooting for the Rangers, and I hope Odor doesn't punch Batista and get suspended because I like him.
And if he does, he can wait until, like, game six or seven to do it. Whatever the last game of the series is,
man,
if he wants
good,
to hit him.
Do you don't, he wouldn't get suspended for the one game of the ALDS if he squared up on Batista?
You mean the ALCS?
It's ALCS,
well, I don't
man.
Really care about that. I just really want the Blue Jays to lose.
Yeah, man, I know. And them fans are so trashy. It's a disgrace. Like when they came down here last year for the divisional series, man, we only needed to win one of them two games to clinch. And those Toronto fans are so trashy, man. And they think they're all high and mighty because, like, we're down here in Texas and, like...
They're from Canada?
Yeah, they think they're going to come into my country and tell me that they're going to win and that like, I don't have a right for my second baseman to punch your arrogant right fielder with weird ears and a 5 o'clock shadow at 9 a.m., That we don't have a right to do that. Get the hell out of this country, man. You can go on and get it.
Baseball is American.
So, yeah, that too. Very, very good point. All right, so tonight is the God matchup. The
one game NL Wild
Yeah,
card.
I'm very nervous. I got to whip out my Syndergaard jersey.
So, yeah, we got Madison Bumgarner starting for the Giants and Noah Syndergaard for the Mets. Giants are favored slightly on the road.
Yeah, -113 to, like, +103, right, or something?
Right, so that's about as close as you're going to get. Yeah, you're nervous. You're biased, obviously. But.
Yeah, but no, but like, we talked about it, that the Mets don't have, like, a real, like, lefty crusher, even though Cespedes are by far best player. He's been slumping lately, and he doesn't have better splits against lefties. He's, like, a reverse guy. I think on his career, at least, that he does better against righties. Granderson's lefty. Jay Bruce, who we need to get hot, is lefty. You know, Conforto, if he plays, which I don't think he will, is lefty. You know, maybe Juan Lagares is the only one if they put him in at all.
I don't think he's even going to play.
No, but it's funny because last year, in the last 2 years, he was the platoon center fielder. Like, it was an excuse to get in Lagares' good defense in center field when a lefty started, but... He's just been too poor this year in general. And then I don't know if they decided yet Duda or Loney, but either way, they're both lefties. And Duda, you know, he had some redemption last year against lefties. But still, you know, you get my point.
He was so bad 2 years ago against left-handed pitching.
Yeah, he was. Oh, it was
a joke.
They had to platoon him, and that was the year he hit 30 home runs. And they had to platoon him with, like, John Mayberry Jr.
He swung at every single pitch. I think they would start throwing sliders.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I
was just going to say. It was just like a slider a mile out, and he was swinging. But...
Yeah, I think that you have a right to be nervous tonight. I think this is going to be a great matchup. You know, I think that obviously the Mets would prefer to be facing a right-handed pitcher, even if it's Johnny Cueto. I think it's going to be key for the Mets to, I mean, this is very obvious, but you got to get Mad Bum out of the game as quick as possible.
Yeah, and what, we only got to get him to throw 112 freaking pitches and then we can get him out?
Yeah, I mean, he just can keep, so it's, you know, it's that delicate balance of working the pitch counts, but then not getting into 0-2 counts and whiffing on everything.
It is so scary because it's like, okay, this is our plan. We're going to try to get him out of the game. And then, right. And then it's like, you just taking, getting bad counts. And then it's the eighth inning and he's still pitching. It's like, uh-oh. Yeah.
And he's the psychopathic, you know, pitcher, and psychopathic in a good way that doesn't really care about his pitch count.
Oh my God. His arm will be dying. And he's like, "Put, I don't care, coach, man.
Yeah, coach.
I don't care, Mr. Coach, man." It's like,
I love Mad Bum, but I will be rooting for the Mets with you tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I know Mad Bum is your screen name on some things. So
don't give away all my secrets.
Who do you think is going to, and his password is BigBoy69. Who do you think is going to win? I'm going to bet on the Giants to win the World Series, bro. Do you not know statistics show that they're going to win the World Series this year? You know, 2010, I don't know if you guys know this, but they won some World Series recently in 2010, in 2012, in 2014. I'm being sarcastic. Obviously, you guys know that. But
even years.
Numbers show this was going down.
I think tonight, I think the Giants are going to take an early lead, but I think that their bullpen's going to give it up. And I'm going to predict I think the Giants are going to get up 2-0, and then I think Granderson is going to hit a game-winning home run off of Sergio Romo in the ninth inning. 3-2 Giants.
No, Mets.
3-2 Mets.
You heard it here first. Hot take. Mets
3-2
blowout.
Mets.
Boom. Boop, boop, boop. I'm trying to do a
five runs scored.
The
over-under is 6. It's plus 100 for over 6 runs in the game.
So Mets in the under, our sports touter Tom says. I wonder how Syndergaard, they're talking about him holding runners or not. And
yeah.
I mean, in a low-scoring game, that does matter. Like, when you face another good pitcher, if they get on and then they can steal. You know, he's given up by far the most steals of any pitcher, any starter in baseball
right.
this year. But then again, I don't want him to, and neither does Terry Collins, by what he said. I don't want Syndergaard to mess with how good he is at all by getting that in his head that he needs to worry about keeping the runners on. Like, he should be a little bit aware of it if he can, but if it's taking away from his job is to get outs, right? And it's like, I mean, who knows? It's like if you get every I don't know, man.
Yeah,
but
I think,
it is so important
yeah.
in a predicted low scoring game. A guy moving from first to second could be the entire difference in the game.
Yeah, and when you look at the, you know, the crazy small sample size of a one-game playoff, every base is so important. I think that the Giants have the more balanced lineup, obviously, but I really think that they're going to have problems hitting Syndergaard tonight because if you look at the Giants' best hitters outside of Brandon Belt, you know, Joe Panik has not performed well this year.
No, he's fallen off totally, man.
Denard Span has had an okay year, but he's not anything that Syndergaard shouldn't be able to handle.
Right.
But then you look at, you know, Posey,
Pence.
Hunter Pence.
Angel Pagan or somebody, I don't know. Who's their third baseman? Ed Nunez?
Yeah, Eduardo Nunez.
Nunez.
They traded Matt Duffy. Probably not happy about that. But
now they're a scary team though because like all of them can get. You know what's what else is cool is both pitchers are. It's like Madison Bumgarner is a right-handed, right? He hits righty.
Yep. He's the reverse. Yeah.
That's so funny. And yeah, Syndergaard is reverse. He pitches righty and bats lefty, which is so gangster.
Yeah, I mean that is the ideal.
Oh hell yeah.
Mad Bum doesn't go by the rules, though.
Mad Bum does what Mad Bum want to do.
Two
you know
great,
what I mean?
Two great hitting pitchers. So, yeah, let's move on to how about we take a look at the Dodgers National Series.
All right, let me guess them odds there. You got the odds for the series up on that screen?
I do.
All right, I would say that the Nationals are favored by, like, maybe minus 145.
Wow, actually, you are quite off. The Dodgers are favored -155. The Nationals +135.
Well, I'm betting on the Nationals then, it looks like. But you make a good point. Like you said it last week, that the matchups, the left-handed pitchers of the Dodgers just totally like
neutralize.
Yeah, they neutralize like any of the National strength. But I was just thinking of like, well, I don't know. Strasburg is not pitching in the series.
No,
he's out. Maybe if the World Series, he'll pitch if possible.
But I think that they
he's out. Like he's out. Yeah. Yeah, he threw off a flat ground yesterday. Is like a story on in the news. That's horrible.
Yeah, you can't trust any of that. And it could be just to have the team. Like it could be like a rallying point for the team. Like okay, like if we make it to the World Series, we'll get back Strasburg.
Oh, what a pussy! He's never going to pitch in the postseason.
I mean, the only thing that I see that the Nationals have as an advantage here is the fact that they have home field advantage. They're missing Wilson Ramos, torn ACL. Daniel Murphy is just hopping right back into the swing of things.
So he's playing.
He's going to be playing, but his first two matchups are against Kershaw and Rich Hill,
yeah,
two of the better lefties against left-handed batters. Harper, again, I mean, same sort of thing. So you're kind of banking on Ryan Zimmerman and Jason Worth.
And Anthony Rendon, no?
Right,
he used
right.
to be good against
you're
lefties.
Right.
But
he is good against lefties.
I mean, they're a deeper lineup to me than the Dodgers. But you know, like essentially cutting the value of your best two hitters in half or whatever is a giant advantage. And Clayton Kershaw is the best pitcher in the world. But yo, maybe Kershaw will be Kershaw again in the playoffs and like somehow go one inning too much or press too hard and blow it, which is so weird. But it's such a small sample size; it's not real. Like he's still Kershaw.
Yeah.
So all right, what's another series?
So yeah, let's move on then to. The Red Sox against the Indians, game one, will be in Cleveland.
Wait, let me guess the series odds.
Trevor Bauer against Rick Porcello, game one.
The series odds, Cleveland should be favored, but I bet you the Red Sox are like -120.
So, again, the road team is favored. The Red Sox are -165.
Holy
for the series.
Crap, wow.
And the Indians are +145.
I'm betting on the Indians, actually.
Yeah, I think that is the way to go.
Right? I mean, wouldn't you agree? That's too much. I mean, I guess the Red Sox lineup is so freaking good, and they don't have Salazar Carrasco, right?
Yeah, they don't. I believe that one of them may be coming back if towards the end of the series. I'm not positive, but what's interesting to me is, like, Terry Francona, I believe, is opting to use... what's his name? The ace of the Indians.
Corey Kluber.
Yeah, Corey Kluber. Sorry. Yeah, he's using him game three, so the first road game.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm not really sure I, one, agree with that strategy. Two, like, I don't really get why you would do that.
Who's their game two starter?
I think it will be Trevor Bauer.
Well, look it up. Maybe he's using well, I mean, sort of this is like what I think a lot of people who are non-baseball fans have had the thought over the years. It's like, well, why not save your best pitcher, try to get away with a win in this other game, and then save your best pitcher where he has a matchup where he's going to dominate. But then again, if you beat their other best pitcher, it's a giant advantage. Who is their game two starter?
So Kluber will be starting game two against David Price at home. But then game three, you have Josh Tomlin will be facing off against Clay Buchholz at Fenway.
Oh, that's a win. That's great. Yeah, you don't need Corey Kluber. You don't need to save Corey Kluber to play Clay Buchholz because you're dominating that pitching matchup no matter who you start.
Exactly.
That's interesting. Okay, so whatever. I mean, I guess I forgot when I first was guessing the odds. Like, I'm still thinking of these teams in their, like, all-star team form. I'm forgetting who's injured. All right, and then in the AL, what's the other freaking series?
It's going to be the Rangers and the
Blue
Jays.
Yeah.
There's no odds on
that. Oh, and then we don't know who the NL... Right, and then it'll be the Mets versus the Cubs.
But we can look at some...
Well,
look
at
the
odds of all of them. I want to bet on the Giants to win the World Series, even though I hope I lose that bet tonight.
The Giants are plus 1,400 to win the World Series, and the Mets are plus 2,000.
And then are they the last two, obviously? Because they have to play an extra game. They should be. They have to play an extra round.
So the actual, I would say, least favorite one taking into account that one game that the Mets and Giants need to play would be the Indians are plus 1,200. You got the Cubs at plus 230. They're the favorites. And the Red Sox are next at plus 400.
And then keep going down the list.
Then we got the Dodgers plus 500. Rangers and Blue Jays at plus 700 apiece. Nationals plus 800.
That's interesting. I like the price on the Nationals and the Giants, but I don't know. I'm an idiot. I suck at baseball analysis. I don't know why. I quit.
Professional
Tom.
Better.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yo, gambler. Sports Touter still called me. We're almost done with the show in like 5 minutes. But I still get calls from freaking Sports Touters who are like, "Hello, Ryan. This is Jim with Play It Again Sport. Do you want to have a free college basketball pick tonight for the big game?"
My regression analysis.
Did you know Boston College is third in BPI in the last week? And I'm like, "No, Jim. How much does it cost for the pick?" Well, what we are doing today is that if 300 people buy our pick, you will get that reduced rate of only $100. Do you want to be winner in sports bet? And it's like, "No, dude." And he's like, "All right. Well, is your windows broken?
Is your refrigerator running?
Well, is your refrigerator running? You better go catch it, you ass." And then he hangs up. No, but I really get calls from them because I heard a radio ad one day that was like air horns, and it was like, "Free sports pick." I was on the bus to Virginia to see my ex-girlfriend. It was like the Giants were playing the Panthers one night. It was like, "Free sports pick, call right now." And I called, and then my number entered in every system. And so they all call me every Monday for the Monday night.
No shot.
And it's not like I've only spent maybe $2,000 on picks. I'm kidding. I haven't given any of them a penny, but they're all – it's a joke. Like our favorite show – that show, what was it called? Money Talks?
Yeah, Money Talks.
Oh my god.
CNBC.
Where this dude, for those of you who don't know, this dude freaking free rolled. His whole business plan was just a phone room, a scam phone room.
Before you get to that, remember this dude is named Steve Stevens.
Right, okay. And it's not his real name. Steve Stevens. And he had been arrested in Florida for running a Ponzi scheme and screwing old people. And so Steve Stevens, that's like my name on ESPN in fantasy is Joey Jojo, because I was naive enough to think that I could hide my information when I first was using the internet as a kid. And so it's still Joey Jojo. That's like Steve Stevens. And he has a business where he finds people and he gives them sports picks. And I only win if my customers win is his pitch. And how it works is I get you, Tom, you're my client. You're a schmuck. We're going to bet on the Mets tonight, and if you win, you give me half of what you won. But if you lose, you don't pay me anything. Doesn't that sound good? You only have to pay me if you win.
Yeah, it sounds really good.
Sounds like free picks, right? If you're a retard, monkey, idiot, mutt.
Yeah, that whole show, so
he's free rolling. Even though anybody hopefully listening is smart enough to understand why that's so ridiculous, is that he's just making 50-50 propositions and literally gets to win half of your bets for free. All he's doing is picking it. It's amazing. He's so sleazy. Like, he came home one night in one episode, and he was like, "Yo, I haven't been home enough with my baby, and I got to spend time with her. Yo, I'm really going to redouble my efforts." And he stops by at, like, 8 in the morning after being up all night and gives her, like, a golden, like, bracelet.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Oh, my God, you're the best, Steve." So, Steve.
Yeah, he's such a sleazeball. And the other thing was like when he's like, "Oh, you know, I'm working so hard and I have something to really be proud of." It's like,
yeah.
You're really.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's like, "I want to have some real integrity. Thing for my kid." Yeah. He's like, "Now I'm really making a living for my kid."
And then the other thing that was great was, remember, like, the bankroll management program where he would get somebody, like, he'd get a sucker and he'd be like,
then they fly out there for the weekend and he meets them.
They pay for everything and he's like, "All right, so what's your bankroll?" And someone will be like, "Oh, I have $50,000 to bet," right? So he'll be like, "Well, look, we're going to do this the smart way, responsibly.
I want you to walk away this weekend a winner, right? So what we're going to do for you, I designed this for you for the weekend. We're going to do our bankroll management system.
Money management program.
Our money management.
And it's like, first game, bet on a baseball game, $5,000. If you lose, he goes, okay, well, it's all part of it. So now we're just going to double down. You gotta show up and man up for this situation.
And then it shows him in a testimonial, like it shows the client like pacing out of the casino upset. And he's like, so, you know, we don't always win, but I was trying to tell the guy that if you want to double down, if you want to win, you got to put in the risk.
You got to have some heart in
and
this.
And you got to do this. It's not an easy route, but 68% winning doesn't lie. And so it's just a martingale. It's like any monkey realizes if you bet and lose and double your bet, even if you lose again, if you then double your bet, you always end up winning the original amount, but not if you're giving away half of your winnings.
Yeah, on top of the VIG you're paying to the casinos, so...
He's amazing, but on some levels, I do wish deep down inside that I had enough of a lack of a soul that I could do something like that. Yeah. It's almost admirable to be like that soulless to do that. But then again, I'm finna go to heaven, bro. But I better start helping more strollers up the subway stairs. All right, so that'll do it. Anything else?
That's all I got. Let's.
So who'd you bet on long odds for the World Series? The Dodgers is your pick, right? +500.
I think that the best value would be, I would say, the Dodgers right now.
Wait. Best value. What is this sabermetric mumbo jumbo? Value, blah blah blah.
I mean, who do I think's going to win the World Series? I think the Cubs are going to win the World Series. Which team matches up with them best, and then therefore, in my opinion, has the best shot to win the World Series? The Dodgers, because the NL is, in my opinion, much deeper than the AL. So there you have it. The Cubs or the Dodgers, the two most favored teams. One of the two will win, and
wow,
you can take it to the bank.
Hot take here
and
first.
I won't charge you 50% of your winnings.
Well, also, if you listen to me on my long bet with the Mariners winning the World Series.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, well, they're technically still alive.
In the Dominican League?
In the Dominican League, yeah, because their whole roster is on the Dominican team. No, but, yeah, well, so much for that. All right, guys, thank you. We will do a show next week. Yo, if you want to email us, open the podcast app. It's on your iPhone already. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review, even if you don't like it. And also, tweet Tom.
At CapFigure.
At CapFigure. And then we can send you an email address. We need callers, like audiophile callers, if you want to call in and make a point.
Yeah, or you can email me directly, inquiries@capfigure.com. Whatever's best for you.
Yeah, if you can't spell inquiry, which a lot of us can't, we understand.
There's a link on the site.
All right, bye, guys. Thank you.